All right, as you start making your way back to your seats, we'll get started with the sermon this morning. As you're getting back to your seat, for those in your seats and those at home that are ready to go, let me ask you a question. If I gave you $10, would you spend it on something? Yes. If you reached under your seat and found $10 right now, which you won't, and you won't at home unless your kids hid it there, if we gave everyone in here $10, you would spend it on something. Would you spend it, if I told you to spend it on yourself, would you spend it on yourself? If I told you to spend it only on other people, would you spend it only on other people? What if I gave you $50? What if I gave you $100? Would you spend it only on other people? I'm not even going to 1,000 because we can't get there. Money, we all have this idea that we want to get more money because, you know, money is going to make our life better. But money can't buy us love. And money can't, that's what the Beatles told me anyway. And money can't buy us happiness. As much as we get stuff, it can't buy us this happiness. We buy things to get us happiness, but we don't necessarily get it. And sometimes we think, if I win the lotto, if I win that millions, or when it gets up to $1 billion, if I win $1 billion, my life is going to get amazingly better. And the studies show that people that win the major jackpots, their life actually gets much worse. They get into deeper debt than they were into before, and it ruins all their social relationships because all their social relationships come about, hey, can I borrow $5,000 real quick? Do you got some money? I know you got some money. Can I borrow? And it tanks their lives. We're not talking about people that win like $5,000 or $10,000, but people that win the big jackpots, studies show it actually tanks their lives. The millions and billions doesn't actually bring the happiness they're looking for. In fact, there is a professor at Harvard Business School. His name is Michael Norton. He did a TED Talk a few years ago about this. And he did that very same study where he gave people some money at the beginning of the day and said, spend it on yourself or spend it on someone else. You got an envelope and it told you how you needed to spend it. And there's different amounts of money in there. And what he found out, and if you're on YouVersion, YouVersion is with the Holy Bible app. If you're at home or you're in here, you can follow along with the sermon and all the different scriptures will be in there. But there's a link to his TED Talk in there, which you should not watch right now because I am so mesmerizing. But I know, it's only 12 minutes too. But he does this talk and he does the study. And what he finds out is that the people that spent the money on themselves, their happiness in their life didn't really change. They were still happy. If they were happy, they were still happy. If they were unhappy, they were still relatively unhappy. Didn't really change. But the people that spent the money on other people, their happiness increased. And in fact, he did not only with individuals, he went into business settings and he worked with teams and he gave teams money and he said, there's a team of five people, he said, you guys, here's $20 for each of you, go get yourself a cup of coffee, go buy lunch, do whatever you want for yourself. And the other one's like, spend something on your team members. And the team members that actually spent on their other team members and not themselves, I think their productivity, not only did their happiness go up, but the productivity of that team went up like 73 or 78%. It's funny when we talk about money. It's not that money is the problem. It's how we spend our money and what we do with our money. And so what he found out in the study is that we're really wired to people find more happiness in being generous, which isn't really that surprising at all because God has known that the whole time because that's the way that God has wired us. God has wired us for relationships. God has wired us to be generous. And that's where it's at. When you look at Acts 20:35, it's up on the screen, but it says this. In all things, I have shown you that by working hard in this way, we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, why would Jesus teach something about being more blessed if he didn't intend for us to live in that kind of way? Is it a blessing to receive? Absolutely it is. Jesus isn't saying it's not a blessing to receive. What he's saying is it's more blessed. There's a different level. It's more blessed to give than to receive. More blessed is that phrase that I want you to think about today. How do we live a lifestyle of more blessed? Jesus kind of lays it out there for us. More blessed is in giving. And this series on making space has really been about making space in our lives and making space in our lives financially. Week one, we went over the fact that God owns everything. You own nothing. No matter how hard you work, no matter what you invest, it's all because God has entrusted it to you. It's all His. He's entrusted it to you to be a good manager of it. So it talks about ownership. He's the owner. We're the stewards. We're the managers trying to do right with His stuff. Second thing we learned in the second week is contentment. Are we content with what we have? When we lose contentment, we lose space because we start buying stuff to fill up our joy and our happiness and our contentment, and then we get cramped and we don't have the space to do what God wants us to do. Last week, Pastor Brandon talked about centering your life on God and having a plan. You know, if you want to do something, if you want to create space, you don't just go at it. You have a plan. You develop a plan, and God has a plan for us on being generous. And this week, what we're going to talk about is getting to the last point of what God really wants in our lives, is He wants people to be generous, that you and I are wired for generosity. And so how do we get there? And that's what we're going to talk about. That's what we do. Let me ask you this question. When was the last time someone gave you something when you needed it most? Think about it. I'll write it down on your paper. You're going to share it with your neighbor in a minute. And as you're writing that down and thinking about it, let me tell you about a story I heard this week. While we were on vacation, we were in Hawaii, and we were at this spot, and it was myself, my wife, my daughter Hannah, and my niece Heather. And then this creepy guy sat next to us. And I say creepy guy because I'm in dad mode at this point, because my daughter and my niece are very beautiful. And he's just kind of got this longer hair and this scraggly beard, but he just looks like happy all the time. And he's looked like he's trying to break in and talk to my niece and my daughter. And they're young women. They can handle themselves. I didn't go over and rescue them, but I'm watching them because I'm in dad mode. And what is this guy's intentions? And I'm looking at him. I was judging a book by its cover, which you're never supposed to do. That's a different sermon for another time. Eventually, we started talking to this young man. He's from Brooklyn. He had a fiance while he was in California, and he was homeless, and his fiance died. So she was cremated. Her brothers lived over on the island. We were in Maui. And so he's like, well, I'm homeless in California. I might as well go be homeless in Hawaii. I'm like, yeah, that's, you know, pretty good reasoning. So he came over here, and he brought her ashes to her brothers so that they can spread her ashes. That was her wishes and their wishes. And so he did that. The very next day, her brother set him up with a job as a caretaker and gave him a job and gave him a lifestyle and gave him something to work with now. He not only had done that, now he's working in different kitchens and he has an apartment and a job and he's getting everything back on his feet because the brothers of his fiance that passed away were generous to him to get him a job to do something. And it changed his life. When was a time someone gave you something when you needed it most? Talk to someone you're sitting next to and share that with them in the next minute. Go. Okay, you're at 30 seconds. Switch partners. Who's talking now? All right, as you begin to wrap up your stories and your sharing time, it's good. It's good to think back and remember of stories that we had, and I thought of some different memories as well. But I would say this. All of us, at some point in time, we are where we are now in life because someone was generous to us. Maybe they got us a job. Maybe they loaned us money. Maybe they gave us a place to stay. Maybe they gave us babysitting, or they helped with homework, or they did something. Maybe they adopted us into their family. We're all where we are because somebody was generous to us in our life. And that's how it works. And I would say that no matter how the person was generous to you, they probably wouldn't take that back. They probably wouldn't go, oh, man, I wish I wouldn't have done babysitting for free for them. They were happy to be generous. We were happy to receive, but they were more blessed, Jesus teaches, to give. And so for many of us, we can think back to that time when someone showed us generosity. And so here's kind of the bottom line. Gabe Romero is going to read our scripture in a minute. And as he's coming up, let me share you kind of where we're going today. Is this: the more we embrace generosity, the more blessed everyone is. The more we embrace generosity, the more blessed everyone is. And again, it gets back to that point of where does God want us to be? Jesus taught himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive. I think that's the place that God wants us to be. So I know this is kind of aerobic. You're standing up and sitting down and standing up and sitting down. You're getting exercise in church, but would you please stand as we read from God's word this morning?
Good morning. All right, from 1 Timothy 6:17-19. As for the rich, in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes up on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasures for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Lord, I want to thank you for just all the provisions that you do provide for us, Lord, all the love and all the grace and all the mercy. So I want to thank you for just the message that you prepared through Brian, Lord, for each of us. Lord, I want to just put that message on our hearts to carry out and serve you and just to glorify you not only today but throughout this week. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Gabe. You can all have a seat. I really like this passage in 1 Timothy because it teaches us a couple things that I want you to see, and we'll talk about it more as we go through this. First thing that I want you to see, God is not opposed to money, is he? As for the rich in this present age, get rid of everything that you have and live in poverty. Is that what he says? It's not what he says. God's not opposed to money. He's not opposed to people having money. He's not opposed to people abounding in money. And I've heard some other Bible teachers that kind of teach different. They want to teach you that God expects us to get rid of everything that we have and live in poverty. And I don't necessarily think that that's correct Bible teaching. I think it's okay to have money. I don't think it's okay to let your money have you. It's okay to be blessed with wealth, but don't chase after wealth. Because that's the second thing that we get in this passage, and we'll talk about it more later. Tell the rich not to set their hope on the shaky ground of finances. Because money comes and goes. Tell the rich to set their hope on God. God first. And that's even what Pastor Brandon went over last week. It's okay to have money, but don't put your eyes on your money. Keep your eyes on God. And that plays a big role into what we're talking about in living this more blessed lifestyle, in living in a life that is in generosity. And so thinking about this passage, and we'll come back to it a little bit more, what are some things that we learn about living the more blessed lifestyle? And the first thing I want you to see is this, that living more blessed transforms and grows me. And I know some of you are probably grammar teachers and like, quit saying more blessed, it doesn't work, but it's going to work today. Living more blessed, because it's more blessed to give than receive. If we want to get into that category, living more blessed transforms and grows me. And I would say this, that generosity is not just about giving away your money. The point of today's sermon is not to guilt trip you into giving things away. Does everyone get that? The point of today's sermon is not to guilt trip you into giving things away, because God is not a God who's into guilt trips. God is a God who's into transforming our hearts. He is wildly, excitedly wants to do everything about your heart and to transform it and to change it. Because that's what he's about. And that's where I come down to, deep down, I think we all have this inkling and this nudge to be generous, because that's the way that God created us to be. And being created in his image, and we'll talk about God being a generous God, we should be generous as well. Ephesians 5:1 says this, and this is why we get to this. Therefore, be imitators of God. Be imitators of God. We should be imitators of God because we're made in his image. So it makes sense to be an imitator of him. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Imitators, copycats, reflections of who God is. That's how we're supposed to be. And on our own, it's really hard to do that. Even as a follower of Christ, sometimes I lose sight of keeping God as my focus, and I get distracted by the burden of how am I going to pay for this over here. And then I focus on that, and I focus on how I can get money to pay for that rather than focusing on God. Has anyone else ever fallen into that trap? It's pretty easy to get distracted. But if I want to live more blessed, it's being in that spot where I can be an imitator of God. And if I want to be an imitator of God, I have to keep my eyes focused on God. I've got to watch him. I've got to know him. I've got to just be in that spot where I can see him all the time so I can reflect who he is. That's what Romans 12, 1 through 2 talks about. Don't be conformed to the world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God wants to do a work. So living more blessed is putting our eyes focusing on God so that he can transform us. And living in that lifestyle is transforming, and it grows us. And this is why it's not just about being generous, because that is a good action that we take. being generous is really all about the heart. What's the most famous Bible verse in the Bible? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Look at the order of the way that verse goes. For God so loved heart, pure heart, that he gave action. It's not, God was a generous God, and so he gives, it starts out with the most important part. God so loved, this is why he gave his son. Generosity at its core. And if we're going to reflect God, we should have a heart like God. Amen? We should act like him. He is loving, he is kind, he is generous, he is giving. Among all the descriptions that we can say about God, there's hundreds and thousands more, but this is who our God is. And remember, God gives to us. This Christmas, it was interesting because we did something different where we set up stockings, and you as the church filled those stockings for the staff. And I just want to say thank you, each and every one of you, for your generosity. Some, it was a Christmas card or a gift card or whatever it was. You were above and beyond generous. And I'm not good at writing thank you cards, so I'm just calling it out, and I'm saying it on behalf of all the staff. Maybe you got thank you cards from them because they're better. We were blessed by your actions. But I want to let you know how your actions, your generosity, transforms me and my generosity, because I got so many different gift cards, I didn't even know what to do with all of them, that I would meet with people throughout the week and like, hey, let me pick up this coffee for you. Hey, let me grab lunch for us. Oh, you don't have to do that. Listen, someone blessed me with all these gifts. I want to bless you in return. Your generosity produced in me generosity. Now you might be going, Pastor, I didn't give you that gift so you'd share it on other people. But that's just the way we're wired, right? We're wired to be generous. And as you were generous with me, you have no idea, like you just wanted to bless the staff or bless the pastors, but in different ways you blessed other people beyond what you even thought it would be, because we're using it to help out other people as well. I was transformed. I was changed by your generosity. How much more by God's generosity? For God so loved that he gave us his son. Not only did he give us his son, he gave us forgiveness of sins. He gives us eternal life. He gives us his word. He gives us his Holy Spirit. He leads us and guides us. He gives and he gives and he gives and he gives. And then when you think he's done, he gives more. Do you know why? God is a generous God. Because God has a pure heart and a loving heart. And if I want to live a life that's more blessed, it's not about being generous. It's about getting this heart of mine transformed by the one who made it in the first place. Living a life more blessed puts us in that spot. Second thing I want you to see, that living more blessed guides and protects us. And so what are we talking about? What do you mean by that? What is guiding you? What is leading you in your life? What is driving you to your destination and where you want to go? Whatever demands our attention, right, this is where we'll end up. Whatever's demanding our attention, this is where we'll end up. And that's why they say when you're driving, keep your eyes straight ahead as much as you can, because if you look down to the radio, guess what most people start doing? Pulling off to the right. And where our eyes go is where we go. And so what are we focused on? What is guiding us? And so I read this thing, what happens when we're off by 1 degree? This is my target, but I'm off just by 1 degree. 1 degree is really not that big of a deal, right? So what's 1 degree going to do? In 1 foot distance, by being off 1 degree, you're going to miss your target by a quarter of an inch. That means in darts, you're going to miss your target by 2 inches because you're 8 feet away. Think about that. There's guys that hit that triple 20. Choom, choom, choom. They are honed in. There is not a variance in their focus. If we're off by just 1 degree playing darts, we're going to miss an inch to the left or to the right. That might not impress you. After 100 yards, you'll be off your target by 5.2 feet. Big deal. It's not that bad, right? After a mile, you'll be off by 92 feet. Now we're starting to get somewhere. If you travel from LA to San Francisco, you will miss the city by 6 miles. If you fly from San Francisco to Washington, D.C., you will miss Washington, D.C. by 42 miles. If you got in a plane, I know we're doing a lot of ifs scenarios, so it even gets worse. If you got in a plane in Washington, D.C. and went around the world, sent autopilot to go around the world and land back in Washington, D.C., and your autopilot was off 1 degree, you would end up in Boston and not Washington, D.C., which is 435 miles off target, just by 1 degree. It gets worse. If you're planning on going to the moon in a rocket, you will miss the moon by 4,169 miles. And just when you think we're done. If you want to travel to the sun and you're off by 1 degree, you will miss your target by 1.6 million miles, which might save your life, and that could be a good thing. All to come down to the point that if we lose sight of our focus, if we lose sight of God being centered, if we're off by just a hair, just a degree, it changes everything. We lose sight and we end up where we never wanted to end up in the first place. So how does living more blessed guide me and protect me? Well, I've got to keep my crosshairs, if you will, on God and on Jesus. If I'm supposed to imitate him, I've got to watch him. Over and over and over. I've got to keep my eyes focused on him. And if I keep my eyes focused on God, I guarantee you this, he's going to lead you to the places that you need to be. All those places might not be happy places. I'm not going to say that, because sometimes we can get into some dark places. And even in Psalm 23, I love that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He leads me. Yea, though I find myself in the valley of the shadow of death. But I look right before that and God was leading me. Like, God, why would you lead me here? It doesn't matter, because God is going to lead us through there. Right? Sometimes when God is leading, it's the mountaintops and high experiences. Sometimes it's low, but God is always with us, and he's always leading us, and he's transforming us to be more like him. Living more blessed keeps my eyes focused on God. If we want a lifestyle of more blessed, means imitating God, which means focusing on him and not changing your target. Now, coming back to that Timothy passage, look at what he says. As for the rich in this present age, don't be haughty or proud. And don't set your hopes on the uncertainty of riches. Don't lose sight of what it's really all about. Put your hope on God and God alone. Focus on that. And so he gets us on that focus. And it's great to have money. And why don't we set our hopes on money? Because money can be gone in an instant, right? Ask Elon Musk, who they say lost $180 to $200 billion. Yeah, some of you are like, oh my goodness, like, how does someone even have that much money? Well, he doesn't anymore, apparently. He broke the record for who lost so much money so fast. But if you put your hope on riches, it's here today and it's gone tomorrow. All it takes is one emergency, one thing, and it's gone. We put our hope on God, because riches don't last. You put your hope on God, you place it there, and then you keep it there, because 1 degree can shipwreck a person. Right? 1 Timothy 6:9 says this, but those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, and into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. Just 1 degree, just starting to chase after money instead of focusing on God, plunges people into ruin and destruction. Be rich in good deeds, Paul writes in this passage. If you're rich, that's great, but be rich in good deeds. Share what you have. Be generous. Be willing to share. These actions protect people from falling into a snare and a trap. Focusing our eyes on God, living the more blessed life, guides us, but it's also going to protect us from so many dangers. You might not see it now, but people can tell you about that. And it's going to guide us into what really matters. Point three I want you to see is this. Living more blessed blesses and refreshes me. That living more blessed blesses and refreshes me. Being generous is actually kind of fun, right? Like, if you have a little bit extra, isn't it fun to, like, be generous and surprise people with something when they weren't expecting it? I enjoy that. Maybe you don't. Maybe you like to be the one that gets the surprise, and that's okay too. But I think it's fun, and it can be a blessing to so many. And again, We're not being generous so that we get the thrill of being generous, right? Oh, it's so fun to give. That's why I'm going to be generous. It's about the heart. Keeping our eyes on God. As God is a generous God, and as I imitate him, I'm generous, and I let God transform me. We're generous because he is. And that's kind of the whole purpose of the series. The whole purpose of the series, when we get down to it, is not detailed to get you out of debt. Have you noticed that? Have we given you a plan on how to get out of debt yet? There's lots of great plans for you how to get out of debt. There's lots of great plans for you to get rid of credit card debt or this and that. Those are all great. The focus of this series is for you to make space in your lives, especially financially, so that when God nudges you to be generous to somebody, you have the space to do it. So sometimes it's getting rid of the junk and going, well, I can't because I got this, 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 and that. And having that space in our life to be generous as God is generous to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It's a longer verse 9 through 13. It says this. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one who provides seed for the farmer and then bread to eat. In the same way, he will provide and increase your resources and then produce a great harvest of generosity in you. Get that. God is the one who provides. Remember, ownership. God is the one who provides. Produces a harvest of generosity in you. Yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can be, so you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. When we are generous, and Paul is talking to a church, and they gathered up money because they heard about the church and the believers in Jerusalem that were suffering. So all these different churches took whatever they could and gathered up money to meet those needs. And Paul is saying, when you are generous like this, two things happen. First, their needs are getting met. Second, people are going to see your generosity and understand and see and know that you're being obedient to God, that you are imitating who God is. Generosity does so many things. And they're living in that 2 Corinthians 9 passage. They are living the more blessed lifestyle. They're living what it looks like. And I would say this when we talk about more blessed, blesses and refreshes us. Have you ever played peekaboo with a baby or something silly like that? And the baby just gets that big belly laugh. And I put a video in a link. It's not peekaboo, but in the YouVersion. A dad is just tearing paper. And the kid's just like, this is like the greatest thing in the world. And he's just laughing. And it's just like this belly laugh. It's like babies can only belly laugh. And then he rips more. And she cries. She laughs more. And stops for a minute. And he rips more. And she just keeps laughing. And he can tear that paper 20 or 30 times. And it never gets boring for him. And it never gets tired because he's refreshed by the laughter of his child laughing. And you've seen videos like that. And whether it's your kid or not, or your grandchild or not, it might not cause you to laugh, but it causes a smile to break upon your face that at the simplest thing, this child could just belly laugh like that. And the parent isn't like, okay, look, I've done peekaboo 27 times. We're not going to 28. You're done having a good day. If that's you, we had a parenting class, and we'll do another one coming up. The parent is enjoying it just as much as the child. It's not a burden to the parent to play peekaboo and make their child laugh. It's actually a joy and a refreshment to them. And as we're generous, it can actually refresh us and bring joy into our lives. And I think that's why God talks about it's more blessed to give and receive, because it's not just about generosity. It's about when we're imitating God and the blessings that come back from that, the blessings for us and the blessings for the one receiving. When we live the life of being more blessed and live a life of generosity, everybody is more blessed. Amen? And so there's great joy to be found in generosity. And I'm going to have the band come up. We're going to wrap this up here. And here's a couple things I want you to do. There's great joy to be found in generosity because I believe God has wired you and me and us to be generous people. And so to not just send you out this way, here's some next steps on how you might be generous. Again, this is not a guilt trip. Do you have to do any of these things? No. But this is just me offering opportunities. Again, there's links to all these in YouVersion of what are some next steps you can take. Maybe you can give financially. We support, as a church, we support We Care Down the Street, which helps people that are unhoused or homeless. There's a link to the Orange County Long Beach Rescue Missions. Maybe you want to support them on a monthly or just give a one-time gift. Precious Life works with unhoused and homeless pregnant women to help them. And a lot of times what they're in desperate need of, sometimes they have help and they have a thrift store, but sometimes they just need a donation. Maybe financially you want to get to that. Maybe God is putting on your heart to support a missionary. And I've put some links to some of the missionaries we support, the Johnstone family, and they're in GoSendMe Global. There's a couple ministries we support in that. There's Kosovo and the Johnstone family. I've put Ignite Missions, which is in Honduras, and maybe it's a one-time gift. Maybe you want to start supporting more. Maybe you want to give time. The Boys and Girls Club in Cyprus, they have children and teenagers there all the time that are waiting for their parents to come. Maybe you've got some time that you can donate. Maybe it's not there. Maybe it's helping out with the Cyprus Senior Center. And we've had a group go several times to help just serve lunches with them, especially as Valentine's Day comes up and special events. They have these special lunches, and maybe you want to go help and serve your time there. Maybe God is calling you to something bigger. Maybe God is calling you to give as he gave, to invite as he invites, as God adopts us into his family so generously. Maybe God is putting on your heart fostering or adopting someone into your family. And I don't know all the avenues for that, but if you're interested in that, I know we have families that work in that way, that I will get you connected, and we will talk about that and figure out if that's where God is moving you, how do we get you to that spot to be generous in that way. Lastly, this, as you walk out, we're going to have a pink paper on the table out there, and maybe, Don, you can put those out there. It's just a worksheet to talk about. It's called Gaps and Gifts. The gaps, what are needs that God puts on you that tug at your heart? Homelessness, youth, whatever. What are the gifts that you have? You can list your top 5 or 6 or 7 and figure out which ones match. And then at the end, it's just a call. How can you step up? What one way will you step up to be generous this week? Not because the pastor asked you to, not because you feel guilty, but because God is stirring it up in your heart to do so. Because if we want to make space in our life and want to live that more blessed lifestyle, we've got to keep our eyes focused on God so that we can imitate him in all things. Amen? Won't you pray with me, church? Lord God, I thank you for today. I thank you for being a God that is extremely generous. Even as we took communion and we read, you so loved the world that you gave your son. And you give us life. Lord, you give us all these things that we have in life. And you've called us, you've entrusted us in generosity to be good stewards. So, Lord, as we wind down this series, may we pay attention to the things you're teaching us. Help us to find joy in living that more blessed lifestyle of generosity. Help us to create space that when you call us to be generous in whatever way, whether it's time or finances or even sending notes or texts or calls or emails, Lord, that we have the space in our lives to do that. God, we thank you. Thank you for all you've given us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.